Need a team that never lets you down? Who knows how to play the game and is always on the ball? Get in touch with the team at Bunnings Trade, helping business in their trade.
Grand finals are known for special performances.
Here comes Dusty. He's shaping up for a fourth.
Searle's there. He leaves it for Buddy. Oh!
Around the body goes Chewy Joe.
Look! From inside the centre square. Boys kick the goal.
And in the biggest week in footy, we've brought in these three dead set legends to get you ready for the grand final.
That's pretty normal for us.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Emma Friedman. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition.
Thank you very much, Rabsy. 9 o'clock on a Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you all grand final week up until 12 o'clock on Triple M. Joey J, Rosie and Emma, good morning to you, legends. We are three sleeps away.
We are. Good morning, gang. We are indeed. We're slowly starting to build up. It's been a bit of a slow build, I must admit, but we're slowly getting there and we can't wait. It is only a few sleeps away. Both sides are really hitting their final preparations and it is going to be a cracking grand final. I think that I think everyone's presuming Melbourne will just win. But I tell you what, Jay-Z, I don't know about. I've been on Melbourne since round four. You know that. I've been really keen on them all year. But as this second week is going on longer and longer, I don't know why, but I'm starting to get this feeling that the Western Bulldogs can do it. And Melbourne maybe just don't play the best game they've played all year and they open the door and the Dogs just do it, and the fairy tale will continue for the Western Bulldogs. I don't know. Maybe it's just been too long. I've had too much time to think about it, but I'm certainly starting to get slight cold feet on Melbourne. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an epic game. I think the Bulldogs match up a lot better to Melbourne than what Port Adelaide would have. I think that the Bulldogs were a much more dangerous opponent for Melbourne, who have probably been the best side in the competition. Now, as a youngster, I was excited for the grand final, obviously, but I was also excited for the sleep out in the lounge room the night before because you had the grand final footy marathon on. Remember, you
get
your mattress, your sleeping bag, and like, Mum just had no chance of trying to convince me that I wasn't sleeping out in the lounge room the night before the grand final. You wake up in the morning and then you watch like the under-19s. Was it called the under-19s back in the day?
It was the under-18s still. Was
under-18s.
Yeah, the TAs. Well, it depends when it changed, but it was the under-18s early in the morning, wasn't it? Then the reserves.
Melbourne grand final breakfast.
Yes, in between.
Oh, yes. So good.
And then the senior grand final. But now they play it all week. Grand finals have been rolling on all week. We spoke to Rui yesterday. I made him watch the 2009 grand final on Saturday. So they have a week-long build-up now with the previous grand finals.
Our trade period is on our doorsteps. And in the last 24 hours, there have been a number of players who have declared their intentions as to where they want to head. So, Jay-Z, yesterday we touched on the coaching dramas at Carlton and the big news rolls on at the Blues today. Sam Petrevsky, Seaton, where does he want to go?
Yeah, it certainly does. It's been a massive 72 hours for the Blues as they narrow the search on Adam Kingsley and Michael Voss. We touched about that and potentially Andrew McQualter and Matthew Scalop being in the mix. But in terms of the trade market, it's really heating up because Sam Petrevsky, Seaton, as you said, former pick six, has requested a trade to West Coast. So he probably didn't get the midfield time that he would have liked over the past 2 years. He was in and out of the team. He was back and forward. He never really settled. He just wanted to go in the guts and didn't get that under David Teague. So he wants a fresh start, and that'll happen under Adam Simpson. But I tell you what, Joey, it's not good news for Blues or Blues fans in this trade deal because they're going to get absolutely lowballed. So we look at West Coast pick. You can cross off 10 and 29, maybe even 35. West Coast has got pick 49. That's where the negotiations for Sam Petrevsky, Seaton, are going to start. So there's not going to be much. Carlton fans can totally forget about getting a decent pick from. How do you rate Sam Petrevsky, Seaton? I know you did a lot of work on him this year. He's been a nice player. He hasn't had the breakout season or string of performances. Carlton fans
I think he's one of the many sort of early draft picks that Carlton fans are, I suppose, a bit frustrated on that haven't developed like they would have expected. And he's certainly fallen in that bracket. I think you summed it up pretty well. I just don't think he's really found a spot at Carlton. I'm not sure exactly what his best spot is. I'm not sure what spot the West Coast Eagles will play. Unfortunately, it hasn't panned out. Look, I don't think for me it's a massive loss for Carlton. As you said, he was really a fringe player anyway towards this season after having a bit of a stint as a halfback. He's a nice player, but yeah, I think pick 30s in the 30s is probably what Carlton can only expect back in return.
I like the move for West Coast. I think he can kick. I think he's fit. There's some talk that he probably wasn't fit enough. I mean, I look back on his times and he's sort of, you know, 6 minutes, nearly in between 6 or 7 minutes for a 2K. So I think he can run. I think he works into that kicking game plan, and I think it's a nice cheap pickup for the Blues. Moving on to Callum Coleman-Jones, Richmond fans disappointed to lose him and Marbior Charles. I think they would have preferred to only lose one. They're both versatile big men who have shown some promising signs. Now, this is a nice pickup for North Melbourne. They need help for young Jackson Edwards, who they got coming on. Nick Larkey, of course. Todd Goldstein, who's been so durable in the ruck. They need some support there in a mid, sort of in a ruck key forward role. And Coleman Jones. So Richmond is talking tough on this deal, Joey and Emma. So North have got picks 20, which Richmond would love. They're not getting that. Maybe pick 38 is about right for Callum Coleman-Jones. Your view on that?
Look, I think it's a great get for the Kangaroos. I really think Callum Jones will be a beauty. That's that forward ruck. There's not too many guys. We've seen that he can take contested marks, kicked a bunch of goals in an opportunity he got for Richmond. Look, I think he's somewhere between 20 and 39. You wouldn't give up a top 20 pick, so I don't think the Kangaroos would want to give up. Clearly, they've got one. They've got pick 20. I think they'd love to keep that for another 18-year-old,
yep.
And then somewhere after that. So maybe it's a future second round, or they can manoeuvre some swap picks, but somewhere in the 20s. But it's a great get for the Kangaroos and a big loss for Richmond, I reckon.
One more, and we might get to the rest later. But Jordan Clark, and I know you've been up to your eyeballs and having a look at this guy like everyone else in the competition, because he has polarised, I feel like, over his journey. So expecting him, well, he's contracted for one more year, but certainly the feeling is that he's more likely to move to Fremantle than stay at Geelong. He's been a bit starved and denied of opportunity. Now, Fremantle have got pick 8, which the Cats would love. I think you can cross that off your list. Pick 27 potentially is going to be closer to the mark for the speedster, former gun cricketer, but hasn't been able to establish himself in that Geelong side.
Yeah, there's just been a bit of a knock on him at Geelong, hasn't there, about his defensive ability, or doesn't fit in with the way they want to defend. I think he's a beauty. Got run and dash. He's got speed. He won the grand final sprint a couple of years ago. He just needs some opportunity at halfback or on a wing at AFL level, and I think he'll be a beauty. So if Fremantle can pull that trade off, it'll be a great get.
Yeah, we've got plenty more trade news coming up later in the program, as well as Daisy Thomas, Stevie J and Ian Kenny from the Birds of Tokyo. Of course, Melbourne currently just experiencing an earthquake only about 10 or so minutes ago. We believe it was a 5.6 magnitude earthquake up near Mansfield, which was felt all the way down to Point Cook and
Phillip
Geelong
Island,
and also up to the ACT. So extraordinary news coming out of Melbourne this morning. We will keep across that. We'll take more calls on it later on. But we are only three sleeps away from the grand final. We've had a two-week build-up for this one, which is unusual, boys and girls. What's the latest news that you can tell us, Jay-Z, about both the Dogs and the D's?
Well, the attention turns to selection, and there's always heartache. It's always, you know, the big story of grand final week, really, with the injuries and who comes in and who misses out. And you would think, Joe, I'm keen to pick your brains, but Alex Keith and Cody Waitman are the two for the Bulldogs, look like the two inclusions. Who do you think is going to get the lemon and sauce here? And what is that like in a football environment? What do you get around that person? Can you console them in any way? Because they get, whether it's Anthony Scott or even Zane Cordy or Ryan Gardner, look like they're going to be desperately unlucky.
Yeah, I think it happens every year. Unfortunately, there's selection changes for grand final day, and people are very unfortunate to miss out, but there's a whole squad that miss out, really, you know. So it's always tough for that player, but it's more important to try and pick your best team to win a game. So I think, look, certainly Alex Keith will play. I'm probably leaning towards Zane Cordy being the one that misses out. I think Ryan Gardner, well, they'll stick with
Bevo likes maybe him.
Yeah, I think Bevo likes him a bit more. Cordy's been in and out this year. Gardner had the injury for the big chunk of the season. He's probably a better matchup for Ben Brown, I would think. So that might be the logical one there. So Zane Cordy, who did play in 2016, premiership player, might miss out. And I think it might be Anthony Scott that probably misses out for Cody Waitman. He was the 23rd man in the prelim. He came on when Latham Vandermeer hurt himself. We think Vandermeer will be okay.
Yep.
So they might be the two changes, and that just only strengthens the Western Bulldogs team from the one that played in a huge preliminary final win.
We've talked a lot about Kasiah Pickett and becoming the next Cirioli. Like, he's as exciting a young player in the competition, I think. And Cody Waitman, not far off. I mean, he's really kicked off in this second half of the season, providing a lot of joy, the smile on the face like a split watermelon. He's been absolutely terrific. He says when he's applying that defensive pressure, then his goals come from that. You look at the Melbourne side of the fence, and a huge relief, really, that Stephen May's been okay. He's been able to get through all the training this week. Remember, he had that hamstring scare in the preliminary final, thrashing over Geelong. They subbed him out early, but he's been able to do everything this week, and I think there's absolutely no doubt that he will play. I mean, Dale Morris played the grand final with two fractured.
There's a lot of players play grand finals that are banged up, but for one more game, you know, you can get through and you still do a great job. So, Stephen May will play, and it's great that they're almost full strength both sides, which is what you want to see. Just want to ask you, with this two-week lead-up to the grand final, did you as a journalist hope and think there'd be a bit more news, a bit more happening in this build-up? Because really, besides a little rolled ankle to Charlie Spargo in a pracky match, there hasn't been much really to come to take out in the lead up to the game.
And that's right. There hasn't been a lot of sort of debate.
Juicy stories or anything.
Yeah. But also too, I mean, you're relying on the clubs. Normally in grand final week, the clubs, the AFL clubs say, speak to whoever you want. Open media day. Come and speak. Like, there's not a bad story in it. You know, you're celebrating everyone's rise and emergence and good performance this year. Melbourne, I think, only put three players up to the Herald Sun. Now, that's unusual for mine. Yeah. I mean, I think you throw the doors open. Every club has done it. They've been a little bit more, or a lot more sort of closed with their media work this year. I don't necessarily agree with that. It's a bit of a shame. But anyway, we'll try and celebrate the players' stories as best we can.
Would have been a great story if the players were out there training. Probably now it would have been on a Wednesday morning. They were doing their main training session and they felt an earthquake.
Yes.
That would be a pretty good story in the build-up to a grand final. Unfortunately,
maybe they felt it in Perth.
Well, that would be even more fascinating. But they've just got a nice build-up over in Perth. And they wouldn't even know, I reckon, at this stage that there's been an earthquake in Victoria.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M. Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Emma Friedman.
You go, well, when that's your biggest problem, isn't that?
Oh, I know. I've got to watch too much footy. How good is it? Oh, damn.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
We do have Stevie J and Daisy Thomas coming up on the program. Now, are you okay, Joey? You feeling all right about that?
I'm just looking at Georgie, the producer. Why has he done that to me, Jay-Z? He went to be enjoying Grand Final week. Stevie J broke St Kilda's hearts in 2009, Dale Thomas in 2010. Well, just rubbing it in, really.
Yeah, really rubbing it in.
Oh, well, you had your time with Rui yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
It does lend itself to a nice little pick one.
Between Stevie J and Dale Thomas.
So pick one. Which of the three grand finals, really, or across the 2 years, hurt more? The 2009 loss to Geelong and the Taupoka course. And the 2010, first the draw to Collingwood and then a heavy defeat in the replay, let's be honest. Which of those games hurt the most? Pick one. Do you need to marinate on that?
No, I know that one. No, I know the answer to that one. Do you want to answer it now?
Yep.
No, 2009 hurt the most.
The first.
Yeah, the first. We went 20-2. We only lost two games for the whole season. Grand final day, we were dominating big parts of that grand final. I think we had twice as many inside 50s in the third quarter, up until midway through the third quarter. We just couldn't kick straight, missed our opportunities. We left the door ajar, and that Geelong side, I mean, they were unbelievable. I think it's one of the great sides of the 2000s, and we left the door ajar, and they took it and walked straight through it in that fourth quarter. So, unfortunately, that's the one that sits the most, because Collingwood were the better team in 2010, and we played so well to almost have a chance to snatch it if the ball had bounced and sat up for Milne. But 2009 is probably the one that hurts us the most.
High ball to full forward.
Yes, our next guest knows all too well about winning flags, three of them to his name with Geelong, a Norm Smith medal, thank you very much, and now assistant coach with the Giants as well. Stevie J, welcome to the show, mate. Great to have you on board, and it's a good week to be a footy fan.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for having me, guys. It's nice to hear from you.
Great to have you on, Stevie. One of the great entertainers, Joey. Let's be honest and think about my favourite footballers over the past 15 years. And this man springs to mind, just snagging goals from the boundary and doing his thing throughout a very successful era for Geelong. And you did it on the big stage too, Stevie. Four goals in the rout over Port Adelaide in 2007. But tell us about 2011, because we're talking about great grand final stories and big moments. Now, you dislocated your knee, I think, in the prelim the week before against West Coast. Did you think you were actually going to play the following week?
Yeah, well, at the time, Jay, it was, you know, it was one of those things that in the prelim final when I twisted the knee, I was in excruciating pain. So my immediate thought was I've done something pretty serious and the chance of playing the following week would be pretty slim. Mm-hmm. So I got back into the rooms and then, you know, I probably thought that I'd done some serious structural damage. But on the Monday, I went and had a scan and they said, well, there's nothing actually structurally wrong. You've dislocated your kneecap and done a little bit of damage, but if you can keep the swelling down in your knee, you may be a 10% chance of still getting out there. So it was a really important week, and I went to extraordinary lengths to try and get myself right to play. Pretty lucky to get up for it.
It looks pretty boring, the hyperbaric chamber, I'll be honest. How did you amuse yourself in there? Did you go for a walk around the block on the night before the game or something and then basically concede that you wouldn't get up?
Yeah, I think, I spent every day in the hyperbaric chamber up in Melbourne where there was a lot of probably more so 70-plus-year-olds just sitting in there with some sort of skin condition. So it was quite boring in there through the week. Wasn't a lot of chatter going on, but that was what I had to do to try and help prevent the swelling. And then I think it was probably on the Thursday night, I went for a walk around the block. I was probably thinking at the very best, I'm probably a 25-30% chance of playing. I was extremely sore and I knew that the doctors would be able to inject the knee to take away the pain, but that was the night before my fitness test. So I walked in there on the Friday morning to get my to do the fitness test, and I could barely walk up the hallway. And I'm not actually putting any mayonnaise on this. It was pretty. I was limping up the hallway, and
it's not a great sign, Stevie.
No. I thought it's going to be tough to get up here and even convince the coaches that I'll be fit to play, but. I went into the doctor's room and he was able to, put, I think, 4 injections in for the fitness test. And within about a minute of, me limping down the corridor and going into the doctor's office and him putting those jabs in, it just completely took the pain away. And I was jumping up and down in the doctor's office, and then I ran up the hallway and I thought, I'm on a chance tomorrow. So I got through the fitness test, and there was actually, there was helicopters hovering over the oval, and I had Taylor Hunt, who was one of the emergencies for the game, who was the bloke that had to sort of challenge me, and I got along pretty well with Taylor. I said, mate, you're not the first emergency, so if you do anything silly, you're not going to play anyway.
Yeah.
Just take it easy on me. He's a good golfing buddy of mine, so he made me look a little bit better than what I was. But, I got through that. But then it was still probably the next morning where it blew up again because I'd put the knee through a fair bit in the fitness test that the next day I was actually sore again. So I guess on the way to the game, again, I was still not 100% sure if I'd play until after I went into the medical room about 40 minutes before the game.
This is Stevie Johnson reliving his 2011 amazing story to come off a serious knee injury to play in the grand final. So just on that then, Stevie, did you have some moments where you thought, geez, am I going to let my team down? Like, I no doubt you wanted to play and you were going to do everything and you were keen, but was there a part of you going, oh, geez, if I go out here and I can't do anything, how bad am I going to feel if I let my teammates down?
Yeah, definitely, Joey. I had that running through my head all week because it was the 2009 grand final where, Geelong played St Kilda and you played in that game yourself. I had surgery in the couple of weeks leading into that game, and I got up for the prelim for my first game back, and then played in the grand final. I was nowhere near my best, and I really couldn't do what I wanted to do physically, let alone having Stephen Baker tagging me and grinding his bloody studs down my calves all day and punching the back of my elbows. But I felt like, geez, we were good enough to get over the line because I was in such a great team, but I didn't have the influence I wanted to in that grand final. I was really conscious of not making a selfish decision in 2011. Mm. So I was confident after doing the fitness test, if the doctors could do what they'd done again on grand final day, I'd be able to go out there and still have a pretty good impact on the game.
And let's be honest, Stevie, not that it really bothered you too much, because you came out in the big dance and you kicked how many?
I think I might have got 4 that day, Joe.
Goals and 14 possessions. It was another show from one of the great entertainers. To be honest, Steve, we could talk to you about this stuff all sorts of day. I love reliving all these sorts of heroics. But you got the three premiership medals, three All Australians, and it was quite an incredible career.
Yeah, I was extremely fortunate. I got to play in four grand finals. I got to play in a lot of big games as a player. I reflect on my career and I look back at even there's a few teammates that are still running around now, absolute champions of the game. But I look at, you know, the players I was able to play alongside, and it's just, you know, you just look at those premiership teams, and there's so many 200, 300 game players. So it was a privilege to play at a great club, and you know, obviously they made it a lot easier for a half forward flanker to kick a few goals here and there. The way they moved the ball, so I was pretty happy.
An extraordinary period in Geelong's history, Stevie. Now, looking forward to the weekend. Who wins? What's the margin? And who gets the norm?
Oh, Emma, I think it's really tough to predict. Yesterday, I sort of had a hunch that thought the Dogs might be too good. I just thought, you know, they're playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And then I thought you might ask me this, and I haven't done any media, or I haven't really looked into too much detail on the week. I haven't looked through the media a lot. I looked at the teams from last week, and I'd probably switch to Melbourne. I think they've just got too much firepower. It's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be an awesome game to watch. In terms of the Norm Smith, I can only narrow it down to probably three or four.
I know that only the big names can join the club. Yeah. Only the big names can join your club, Stevie.
Exactly right. You just don't know how they're going to stand up on the day, girl. I think Maxi Gawn, you know, obviously one that I think if he has anywhere near the game he had on the last week, he will be hard to beat. And I think he's got a big ruck advantage there with his height and that. And the other one, probably for the Demons, is probably Bailey Fritsch. He is that half forward that, you know, if you do put a few goals on the board, he looks like he's not afraid of, you know, playing well on a big stage. So those two for Melbourne, and maybe Jackson McRae, you know, he racks up the footy. Didn't get a lot of Brownlow votes on the weekend, but he'll probably come out and have 35-40 if they win the game. That's a pretty good chance of getting your twos and threes off the selectors. And if they're going to win, they probably need Aaron Norton to kick four or five as well. So that's there's four there for you, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Exactly right, Stevie. Excellent analysis, even though you haven't read the papers, because it's coming from your own footy mind, and we appreciate that. Thanks for joining us on Dead Set Legends.
Thanks, Stevie.
No worries. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
And great to welcome 2010 Premiership player, now media superstar across Channel 7 and Triple M, Daisy Thomas, to the studio.
G'day, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, did you feel the earthquake?
Oh, I did. I was actually midway through a push-up challenge.
Here we go.
A good mate of mine, Chris Smith, challenged me to do 100 push-ups. So that's how I woke up to a tag on Instagram. So I thought, you know what? Bugger it. I'm not in the best nick. I'll get up and have a go. And
I got the earthquake.
That might have been what caused it.
I got to about 25. I thought, geez, I'm under a bit of pressure here. My arms are shaking and I collapsed in a big heap, and next minute the walls were shaking. So, look, there's my earthquake story. Although, as we know in Melbourne, the government knee-jerk reactions everywhere. Apparently, Daniel Andrews has just announced that it's mandatory now to wear helmets indoors and outdoors.
Lockdown extended.
And the lockdown will be extended. So
we can only laugh. That was a joke, everybody. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, people are on edge at the moment, Joe.
Yeah, I'm just trying to lighten the mood.
I feel like we all need a drink at the moment just to calm down.
Daisy, we just want to get you in because we've had all week, we've had some wonderful guests all talk about their grand final stories or some maybe untold stories. And we've had some heroic moments. Dale Morris playing with a broken back. We just had Stevie J earlier,
Shawnee
basically
Bergwijn
dislocating a knee. Rui having a fitness test in a Box Hill hospital a night before the grand final. Any heroic stories from your good self?
Well, mine's probably not as heroic as that, but
play it up anyway.
Well, okay, I'll give it heaps. Yeah, it's probably one of the most heroic things you're ever likely to hear from a man of my stature. Only slight, just fearless in the way I approached the ball in those grand finals. But I have to take you back to round 16 or 17, I think it was. In 2010, we played, it was the Pies v. the Saints at the MCG. And I got hit by Lenny Hayes. I think it was about near the second quarter. Not the point. Ball came in. Brendan Goddard kicked it. And it was going to be Lenny and I was always going to get there first. So I was hoping for a good bounce, and so I could try and get through a Lenny Hayes tackle, which is, you
pretty
know,
hard.
Fraught with
hard
danger. Yeah, at the best of times. Unfortunately for me, the ball just sat up on its end a little bit. And I had to do the one where you know the contact's coming and you got the decision. Do you slap it and, you know, look a bit weak. And I remember in my second ever game at Etihad Stadium, I did that and I got one of the all-time great Michael Malthouse bakes. So it's amazing what goes through your head in those little split seconds. Yep. That sort of went, no, grab it.
Yep.
So I grab it. Lenny comes at me and he doesn't tackle me. He just puts a like rugby league sort of style hit on me. So his shoulder just straight in the bottom of my rib cage.
Cannoned.
Absolutely folded me up like a pocket knife. I was down. I was out. I think we actually had the audio from way back when.
Yeah, good spot.
Yeah, so he absolutely mixed me. There's no two ways about it. Well done, Lenny Hayes. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, was that Spud calling that? Yeah. Obviously not too sympathetic for poor old Dave Hughes curled up on the ground there. So went to the bench, came off, and was in a bit of pain, but played on. Went and got a scan, and he actually cracked one of my ribs.
Wow.
Did Lenny. Oh. So for the rest of the year, I think that was around 16 or 17.
17.
Had to then continue to play out and getting an ultrasound after the second warm-up, the first warm-up, before the second warm-up, and get the rib coated with some a needle and some...
anesthetic?
Yeah, some pain relief. So
cortisone?
It was a gross feeling having... Because they literally rub the needle across your rib and then slowly inject it to try and numb it because it's a bone, so you can't really do a lot with it. But that was my grand final stories.
Yeah, extraordinary. I still had 27 touches in that game.
It didn't slow me down. There's no worry about that. So
you're absolutely outstanding, mate. What were your recollections of obviously the draw, how you felt afterwards, and the genius of Michael Malthouse in terms of how he framed that follow-up game, because you've got the feeling the Saints are a bit sort of flattened down in the dumps. Well, you guys did something a bit different.
Yeah, we did. Well, I think the biggest thing we did straight away was we went to our function and the Saints boys didn't, which at the time we pissed and moaned a little bit, to be completely honest with you. We're like, this is the last thing we want to do. Our family members have all been on the gas all day at the grand final, and then we have to go to the function and they're going to continue to do that, and we have to sit here and drink waters and talk about it. But that was the best thing we did, because after a game, a big game especially, you go home, you can't sleep anyway. Yep. You're all wound up in a grand final. So we got out, we mingled. Mick delivered a great speech about it being halftime.
Yep.
He got up and he got everyone going. And from that point on, I think, I can't really speak for Joe on this. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but our mindset was that we were as close to losing a grand final as you ever could be without actually losing it.
Mm.
Whereas I think the Saints sort of felt like you were as close to winning a grand final as you ever could be without winning it, if that sort of makes sense. Yep. So
glass half full.
Yeah, well, and just the reality of it, you know, we're in front for most of the day. We'd led for 104 or 5 minutes, I think it was, until BJ took that mark. So,
and better team all year, really.
Yeah. So, and we nearly gassed it, to be completely honest. We bombed the ball in long, so... to then come out the next week and rectify that, obviously fantastic and, a completely different game with some big moments, a Heshaw smother that started really the whole trend and trajectory of that game.
What a moment that was.
Now, Daze, yesterday on the program we were talking about, because we're all parents, Jay, Joey and I, and yourself, about childhood foods that you have rediscovered, I think primarily during lockdown because there's not much else to do.
Mm.
You got something that's tickled your fancy of late?
Yeah, well, obviously the great thing about parenting is that you get to, you give your kids stuff and they are craving it, they're hanging for it, and they have about 3 bites of it and say, no, I don't want it anymore. So, I'm sure all the parents agree, little turds they are. Anyway, two of the ones I've been big on these holidays.
Good on you, Rosie. Yep.
Twiggy sticks.
Oh,
the little
cabana
sticks.
Salami numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And Bega stringers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, like the plastic cheese that you...
Yeah.
Yeah, they've become big in the household.
Tilly in had your diet as well.
Yeah, not for Tilly. He tried it. Now I'm onto it.
I bought a box of half-coated chocolate tiny teddies.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
Fair to say the kids didn't get a lot left. I destroyed them.
I realised, fish fingers as a kid, I thought they were pretty ordinary. No, these fish fingers these days are beautiful. Really succulent bit of fish.
There you go, real fish.
Yeah. Deluxe. Hey, we talked about the 2010 grand finals. Collingwood prevailed in the replay over Joey Saints, of course. In 2011, you butted up again. Of course, you took on the Cats. And can I say, weren't you absolutely outstanding again with the 31 possessions? I'm surprised you weren't. You ought to think you got any votes in the normal Smith medal, but you damn sure don't, because 31 possessions and 5 hitouts.
Yeah.
Since when were you a ruckman?
Third man up was my go back then. But we've seen, you know, especially the year before, that they get the Norm Smiths wrong a lot. A great deal
of time.
Oh, God,
here we go. There's a kettle of fish.
No, well, look, as the only bloke who got votes in both the games, it's probably only fair that I should have got the medal. But anyway, they gave one to Lenny and Pendles are still holding on to my other one. That's fine. That's neither here nor there. And I don't hold a grudge. But now, 2011, look, fantastic year we had. Unfortunately for us, Chris Tarrant went down. Podsy Udley went down, broke his collarbone in that one. We then didn't really have a matchup for Chris Tarrant. Tom Hawkins turned into Wayne Carey, except he couldn't kick, so then he realised that he should just handball it to Stevie J, and we went on to that, and we got our pants pulled down. So unfortunately for Pies fans, and probably more one of our teammates, Ben Reid, who was playing on Tomahawk, we have our reunions now, and he, sure and I, well, any opportunity we get, we launch three deep over the top of him. Oh, Tomahawk! So the wounds are probably still pretty rare for Ben.
Oh. Set Tom Hawk's career in motion, didn't it?
From
that grand final, he never looked back after that, Granny.
Who do you take the pee out of anyone, Joey, or is it still, like, could you go up and do the same thing to sort of BJ or take that seriously?
BJ,
no, we've sort of steered away from all the boys that missed all those goals in the 2009 grand final.
Do you mean Sam Gilbert? No, that was 2010.
No, he was 2010. Yeah, he turned the game in our favour in that second half of 2010.
He could have been the hero.
It's probably more the one that we feel was Milne's bounce. People still think Milne should have dived on the footy in the forward pocket, but he was never going to be able to get that ball the way it bounced.
Thinking back to 2010, the BJ mark, the BJ Goddard mark, that is a moment. The Tom Boyd goal, I got goosebumps. Mm. The Marlon Pickett goal that Dustin Martin passed to, got goosebumps in, and the BJ mark. That's when I thought St Kilda's going to win. He took a hanger in the square. That was an incredible, unforgettable grand final.
Yeah, it was. Big iconic moments. And he still says there would have been a statue outside of Moorabbin if we had won that grand final. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But Daisies, we have a look to the grand final because you are the best analyst in the business. We spoke on Monday that Triple M was the only one that gave Ollie Wines the big award for the best player in the competition. We were onto it. You were the man judging a lot of those games. How do you see the grand final panning out?
I think Melbourne will be too good defensively. I think that's been their strength all season long. Obviously, when the Dogs got or beat them back in round 19, I think it was 20 points, they went in tall and they were good enough to isolate those Melbourne defenders. And I think that's what they're going to have to try and do. Have they showed their cards a bit early? And obviously, you don't know who you're going to come up with. So you can only present what you think will win you the game on the night. But I think Melbourne will have some plans around that. So if Melbourne's defenders can be brave enough, and this is the big unknown, on grand final day, strange things happen. You don't know how you're going to handle the biggest occasion of all. Will you be ballsy enough to come across and leave your man if he's in the goal square and a lever has to come 20 metres and provide a fist knowing full well that someone's in the goal square? So this is why you practice and you implement these game plans and you have them down, because when the big moments come, you have to trust your instinct, you have to rely on your teammates to carry out the game plan implicitly. And I think if Melbourne can do that and hold their nerve, they'll be just too good for the Dogs. I think a 3 or 4 goal margin's probably fair, all things equal, but I expect the Dogs to throw a few curly ones at the D's from the coach's box.
Yeah, certainly looking forward to it. Daisy, and off the top of the show, we touched on former teammate of yours, Sam Petrescu, Seton, requesting a trade to West Coast. Just quickly, how do you rate Sam Petrescu? How big a loss will he be for the Carlton Footy Club?
I can see him being one that the Carlton fans in a year's time go, geez, what are we doing letting him go? Or how didn't we keep him? How didn't we get the best out of him? Because he has unbelievable skills. We've seen him go through the middle a couple of times at the Blues. Probably starved of a little bit of opportunity.
Yeah.
Some of it his own doing because
like
of the consist. I do like him. I think he's a really good talent, and I think next year he'll be certainly in that conversation for recruit of the season. He's someone who could go to another club and have a really, really big say and impact there. And because he's pick six.
Yep.
Six is a talented, talented boy. So back home in WA too, close to his family, of course. He's a Halls Creek boy.
Yep.
A rodeo rider back in his day. Yeah. So he's a ripper. He loves it tough. He loves it hard. And he's got skills to match.
Thanks. Daisy, we appreciate your time. Are you missing out on any cashies this week? I mean, I know Joey's ruining the day that he can't get over to Perth and, you know, get that extra money for this week.
I am. I've been flat. I've been actually, you know, since I've retired, I haven't been able to do any of them. So, again, I told you I don't hold a grudge. It was a complete lie. I do. It's absolute bull twang. I'm flat. All these stories that I've saved up and could actually give a bit of colour to and lag a few blokes in now that I'm not playing are still just sitting there in the vault. So good news is for 2022, hopefully we're out and about. So if you need someone, book me in advance. Jump on. No, I'm just joking. just before we go, Joey, I just thought I could bring this and you could have a...
No,
he's brought in the medal.
Actually,
the 2010 Premiership medal is in Joey's hand. and his eyes are just starting to glass over and well up. And
it's not that good.
When you're playing a draw, you're very close to winning one. So just a little bad luck on the end.
You're a good sport, Joey. And so are you, Daz. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate you jumping in on Dead Set Legends right here on 105.1 Triple M.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman.
Joey, I think you should just ease up on the honey crumpets, to be honest, mate. Less honey crumpets.
Oh, that's a bit mean.
Mirrors over here.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We've got t-shirts riding up and it's
been a bad week.
Grand final week edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
Jay, quick question. The stand rule in for 2022. We know Brad Scott is the new GM of football, taking over from Steve Hocking. Do you think he keeps the stand rule? Are you a fan of that? Or
yeah, absolutely.
Does it need to go?
I'm not sure why it needs to go. What was the negative of having the stand rule on the mark?
I guess the question was about, it's onerous on the umpires and whether it actually helps or enhance the game. Did you feel like it helped open it up? Was there
absolutely
more breath in the game for
absolutely
you?
Absolutely, it did. Yeah, I don't think it was onerous. I think towards the end of the year, I think if you look at the stats, there was less than one 50-metre penalty paid around. For a thing. So I don't think it became as onerous as what people made out. I think it makes it easier for the ball carrier to find an option. We wanted a bit more ball movement. It's an easy technique that 12 months in, once next year comes around, we won't even be talking about it. Maybe the only one they can adjust is maybe if you're on the mark inside 50.
Yes.
And maybe you can slide across that left and, you know, the east to west line to impact the kick. But otherwise, I think it's been a rule that has helped enhance the game.
Well, they have revealed the players who are going to be taking to the Colgate Grand Final Sprint this year. One of the highlights at halftime, some of the big names from West Coast and Fremantle. So let's be honest, it's out west. We don't have the whole gamut of AFL footballers available for the sprint this year, but the likes of Tom Cole, Jack Petrocelli, Andy Brayshaw, Liam Henry, Luke Ryan. It's not the most star-studded of fields.
Luke Ryan?
Yeah, Luke Ryan's in there.
Mm-hmm. So why has he gone in it, you reckon, Joey?
Seems like he's taking the cash. I don't think he thinks he's going to win it.
By that lineup, I think, not sure if they bet on this, but Jack Petrocelli, I would have thought, would be the early favourite. So you've been in one, Joey. How seriously did you take your grand final sprint?
I've been in four, actually.
What did you get for it?
You get a little bit of money to compete in it.
Yes.
And sorry, are you invited or do you nominate?
You get invited,
okay.
Yes.
Couple of tickets.
Couple of tickets as well to the grand final. So there's an opportunity to make some money out of it. And there's
no wonder you say yes. I mean, this is pretty easy.
It's fair to say there's two types to compete in the grand final sprint. And those that actually want to try and compete and win and say that they're the fastest player in the AFL, and those that are just happy to take a bit of extra cash for the week and enjoy the occasion. And I was probably one of them, because your preparation's not the best. Like grand final eve, you're generally having a few beers somewhere. So it's fair to say, Rosie, in one of them, I was hungover, it's fair to say.
You're still drunk.
I'm not sure the record. I don't think I made a final out of all four of them. But there's a bit of method in that. Because what happened is a couple of them, the heats were run at Punt Road pre-game. So it worked. It was convenient. It was nice to go and run at Punt Road.
Like a midday
11 o'clock. 12,
right. Yeah.
So you could do your running. And if you missed out on the final, okay, bad luck. Mm. But you get your money, you get your tickets, and you get to enjoy the rest of your day. But if you actually made the final, well, there was all these big instructions. You'd have to meet at like midway through the second quarter of the game.
Oh,
you'd
no.
have to meet with someone from the AFL, go down into the change rooms, get changed. Missing half the game of footy, have to come out at halftime and run. And obviously you've got to keep yourself in a bit of reasonable order if you're going to run at halftime in front of 100,000 people and everyone on TV. So sometimes it was ideal to actually miss the final and just be able to enjoy the day. And I think I might have been able to milk the system four times.
Hey!
And who took it a bit too seriously, I think? So you sort of not that fussed about it. Because everyone you can dob in that.
Paddy Dangerfield won it 3 years in a row, which he did. Paddy Dangerfield won it. I don't have the years there. I think Georgie was looking him up earlier.
Georgie's saying you made the final in 2006.
Oh, maybe that was when I was young. Maybe I was trying
the first
time.
Yeah, and then you went, nah, there's a better system to work this.
I must have made the final and thought it would have been cool to win. And then after that, I realised there were better things I could do for my grand final
days.
It's
a complete rule, is what you're saying.
It is for most people, but it is a bit of fun. I know Reece Stanley was a winner when he was at St Kilda. As I said, Dangerfield's won it a few times. And Jordan Clark, who you spoke about earlier, who's on the move. So it can enhance a little bit of your reputation. It does get used for the next 3 years when the player's playing on the field. I think Ben King won it a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, Ben King, 6'6". But it's a nice way to make a little bit of extra cash and enjoy the day.
Good on you, Joey. I like that. Including, so we've got the grand final sprint, of course, on the big day, but some great pre-match and mid-game entertainment as well.
Half-time this year, which is going to be awesome.
John Butler Trio, Eskimo Joe, Abby May, Colin Hay, Baker Boy, Mike Brady also coming back for a little bit of a return.
Beaming live from MCG again.
Be? But also the Birds of Tokyo.
At half-time.
And Ian Kenny's going to join us on the program very shortly. Now, I think there's a topic that we need to discuss on this program regarding footy jumper wearing across Melbourne. Now, it's a very festive week. I understand that with the grand final only three sleeps away. But, Rosie, you've seen a couple of people in your neighbourhood.
Oh, hang on. I want to talk about South Melbourne first. Across the road, we've got Grilled. There was a guy walking into Grilled with a Richmond jumper on the other day.
Just on a regular Monday?
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. I completely agree with that.
Your team's in the grand final.
Okay. Maybe during the week of, but like Richmond, like, are you serious, guys? You didn't even make the eight. Like,
what's going on?
You've seen a lot of fences just painted?
Yeah, so I've moved to Elsternwick in January and I had no idea how infested with Melbourne people it was. It's a beautiful thing to see. So I think every third house in my street has a fence painted or there's a scarf out. I'll put my photos on my Instagram, rosewall76. But it's just, because we don't have it here, I am enjoying seeing kids in their jumpers, or I saw a lady walking with a demon scarf on, and got friends that live in sort of Footscray area, and there's a street called Marcus Avenue and somebody wrote Bontempelli underneath. Yeah, and I love that sort of stuff.
You showed us, you saw someone that put out their Melbourne skis up against the trees.
I know,
the red and blue.
Put your skis
out for Melbourne.
I love this stuff.
That was pretty cool.
Trombones. Your blazers. Any sort of woolen item can
Where
all
are you?
Go out.
Elbow patches.
Yeah. And the kids love it, don't they? They love seeing the excitement and the festivity and the colours. In our neighbourhood and the north of the city, there's been Western Bulldogs and Melbourne sort of garb everywhere. And I love that. But I'm okay with footy fans wearing their colours throughout the year. I think it's part of Melbourne. I think it shows our passion for the footy. Even as a fully fledged, full blown adult, I'm okay with the footy colours.
To wear footy jumpers.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What about this though? If you're going to a grand final, can you only wear the colours and paraphernalia of the two teams taking part? Or say I'm an Essendon fan, can I rock up to the grand final? Not that I'm going to be able to on the weekend wearing my Bombers guernsey.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
I don't know if that's really acceptable, is it?
No, we probably won't want that this weekend. Otherwise, we'd have a few West Coast Eagles and Fremantle supporters, you would think, who just love their footy, who would love to be able to go to a grand final for the first time in their home state. So there'll be a lot of neutral supporters, you would think, there, as well as some fanatical Melbourne and Dog supporters that have been lucky enough to be there, over there, living there and getting tickets to go.
Well, this is the extension then. Is it okay to have a second footy team? Who did you support growing up as a kid?
I was a Collingwood supporter as a kid.
Did you have a second team or a soft spot for another team?
As a kid?
Yes.
I changed. I used to break for Hawthorn up until I was like 6 or 7 years old, and then I changed to Collingwood, yeah.
Right.
Well, when you're kids, you don't really have a strong alliance to a team. I was Hawthorn early days and then went to Collingwood. 1990 was the first year I broke for Collingwood, then they won the premiership, and then I was...
Just jumped right on the bandwagon.
And then once I got drafted, I hated Collingwood.
Yeah, of course
you did. What do you think, second teams? Well,
my sister's bad at this. So we are lifelong Essendon supporters, or so I thought, having grown up in that area as a youngster. She starts going out with a guy who barracks for Geelong. They get engaged, and she switched teams at the age of 29! It's outrageous! So now, when there's games between the Cats and the Bombers... She's with Geelong, and I'm just very confused by that.
True love.
Disappointed.
If that was the case, I'd have to go for the Adelaide Crows, and that would be an abomination.
I was a Fitzroy supporter as a kid. My parents weren't interested in footy, but somebody indoctrinated me into the Lions, which is fine. Then they disappeared, and I couldn't do the Bears thing.
Yep.
So I was without team for a long time, but I worked for Triple M Footy. I loved everybody. Mm. Then I eventually, because I went and watched Friday Night Footy a lot, fell in love with Collingwood. But I always pick a team for the day of a grand final if I'm not involved, and I wear the colours of it. This year it's really easy because they're both blue, red, and maybe with a bit of white. So I can even change halfway through. Take off
Rosie's
a white scarf.
Got the solution there. I like that. If you're wanting a team for the weekend, just throw all three colours on and you can chop and change.
Is it fair to say, though, the majority of neutral supporters would like to see Melbourne win the premiership? That seems to be the feel, doesn't it? I think there's a part of me going, I'd love to see Melbourne win.
It's a nice story.
It is a nice nice story. And the Dogs won it only a few
years
ago.
Yeah, whatever.
It's the fairy tale. And we've seen some beauties. We saw Richmond. We saw the Western Bulldogs. A 57-year drought. The pressure on Simon Goodwin. It is the bigger, better story of the two sides.
And hopefully it's a good game. And it should be.
It should be a good game. Definitely.
Absolutely.
We'll get the good game. But, yeah, the story. You're thinking about the story for the articles, aren't you, too? The newspaper.
Yep.
The story. Angles.
The angles.
The story.
Yeah. And don't worry, tomorrow we will have all the analysis and on Saturday you could possibly need leading up into that grand final.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman.
It's meant to be a team effort on this show.
No I in team, but there's an I in winner.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, grand final week edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
Love talking footy with you boys and girls. Jay-Z, you've been working the phones this morning to work out some of these potential trade moves from a number of players who over the last 24 hours have decided where they want to head.
Yeah, and we've already touched on Sam Petreski. Seaton, interesting from Carlton. He's going former six pick, headed to West Coast. We spoke to Dale Thomas. He really likes him, thinks he could be one of the recruits of the year next year. But there are a couple of others and all eyes on Geelong really at the moment because Jordan Clark expected to go to Fremantle, Joey, maybe for a second round pick or thereabouts. Now, the other one is a guy we haven't seen too much of at Geelong. I think he's only played just the one game, been used at both ends of the ground in Nathan Kruger. He's an exciting sort of swingman type, quite athletic. Not sure if he plays for Geelong in the forward end next year because they've got Cameron Rowan, Hawkins, Asava Radagalea, as we sort of know, and has played a bit of time sort of at the back end. But it appears as though he wants to get to Collingwood, who need to really support, redress, bolster their key forward options because they've got Brody Mychek and Mason Cox, question mark, and Darcy Cameron as well. Do you know much, have you done much work on Nathan Kruger and what impact can he have at Collingwood? Should they be excited about his arrival?
Yeah, look, he's a nice size. He's a nice athlete. We saw him play a bit of VFL footy. I saw him play in defence and then he came into the senior side, played as a defender and looked quite good. So it looks like, though, Collingwood are earmarking him as a forward,
right,
which will be interesting. Look, I don't know if it's exactly what Collingwood need. I mean, that's now, if he does play forward at, you know, sort of B or C grader in their key forward stocks, they don't really have an elite forward, besides probably Jamie Elliott, who's their best forward in general these days. So, look, it helps. I don't think it's going to change the fortunes of the Pies. I've been on the record. I think Collingwood will struggle for a couple of years. I'm not as sort of bullish on their list as a few other people.
What about Luke Dunstan's comments? So he wasn't offered a contract at St Kilda, which surprises me a little bit. I mean, he had games where he had 30 possessions. He was polling Brownlow votes. Was it 10 or 12?
11.
Yeah, 11 Brownlow votes the other night. And he was really honest, asked about this the other night, I think on 3AW. And he said, well, I just knew that Brett Ratten didn't rate me. And I applaud his honesty. I think that's okay. There's no ill feeling there. It's just they were on completely different pages. Now, I'm going to keep an eye on this. I just wonder Richmond. So Dion Prestia said his injury issues, plays that inside on baller role, but can spread. Can Luke Dunstan do that in a premiership contender?
I think Luke Dunstan would be a great pickup for a team like Richmond or even a team like Geelong. I mentioned yesterday, Geelong can sort of rejig their side a little bit, maybe put Selwood out onto a wing and play a bit of a different role. I think Dunstan's got some really good footy to offer. You got to remember, look at Jared Lyons and the impact that he's had. And he wasn't rated by Stuart Dew at the Gold Coast Suns. And he polled 23 Brownlow votes the other night and has become a star. So sometimes you've got to look at what a player can do and not what they can't do. And sometimes it's very hard for coaches. Once they get their mind made up on a player and they see things about their game, it's very hard to shake. So that's why a fresh start for players like Luke Dunstan is always the best option.
Jordan Dawson has picked Adelaide over Port Adelaide, interestingly, is a lovely ball user out of Sydney, I think.
That's a great get. He's a very talented footballer.
I think the Swans want a first-round pick or a top 20 pick for Jordan Dawson. They've got pick 4, the Crows. I can't see him giving that away. And their next pick is 23, which is probably more so around the mark. We know how good a player he is. What about Adam Chera? What impact, what difference will he make to the fortunes of the Carlton Football Club? He looks like he's going to pick the Blues over the D's. And the Fremantle Footy Club will certainly have their eyes on Carlton's pick number 6 for Adam Chera.
Yeah, you would think so. But look, Carlton now, so George Hewitt has basically said he will go to Carlton as a free agent.
Like that.
That's a great get. And they get Chera. All of a sudden, their midfield now is stacked because you've got a bit of both. You get a defensive, tough inside mid who can sort of play that negative role, but a defensive role. It allows Cripps and Walsh to do what they do, and Chera is the icing on the cake. Charlie Kerner, if they get a full season out of him teaming up with Harry Mackay, is something pretty special. And we know their defenders are really, really good players. They just need to learn to play as a system and defend as a team. And if they do that, there is a lot of upside with the Blues next year. It is a juicy coaching role for whoever gets that gig with the Blues.
I'm glad you said that, because you know what? The pressure is going to be significant.
Huge.
We know Luke Sayers has already said, Emma, that we expect Carlton to be playing finals next year. So they're going to top up in the midfield again. Harry Mackay, Kerner, you just mentioned Wiedering, the spine is right there. You know, a good young ruckman in De Koning. What happens if under a new coach they go 1-4? Like, it's just going to be a big story, Carlton, next year, because the expectations, the pressure are going to be high from the first game of the season when they take on Richmond.
The full stock, all they need is the coach now.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M.
We are looking forward to talking to Ian Kenny from the Birds of Tokyo very shortly. We've spoken a lot about the entertainment at Grand Finals in years gone past and how these performances really stick with you this year. The John Butler Trio, Eskimo Joe, and also the two-time ARIA Award winners in Birds of Tokyo, and they're coming up very shortly. Any that stick in your mind, boys and girls?
I like Jet back in the day. I can't remember.
Yes. Which year?
What years?
Really. You can't go past the Killers. Yeah. I think they were incredible. You saw Lionel Richie when you were in the rooms?
I was listening to Lionel Richie while I was in the rooms getting ready to play. That was pretty cool. I thought Lionel Richie was great.
And Birds of Tokyo also have a brand new song out, Rosie, which is going to be an absolute belter. It's called Superglue.
I've heard that they're not going to play this at the grand final. But here's a little bit of it, and it features sort of like a guest vocalist, Bonnie Fraser. That's the new Birds of Tokyo song, Superglue, which we're hearing on Triple M Aussie at the moment and across Triple M.
And glad to say that Ian Kenny from the Birds of Tokyo does join us now. Ian, welcome to the show, mate. Congratulations on getting the gig for the grand final. It has probably been a bit of time, though, in between big gig drinks, though. How are you feeling about Saturday?
I'm feeling good, but definitely feeling a bit of that natural pressure. Like, you know, it's no small gig.
No, it's a massive gig, and it's a stage you've been on before. And Joey and I and Emma were talking before about big grand final moments and clutch performances and your sort of favourite grand final performances. Have you got one over your career? Like, where does a grand final gig like this stack up against your whole magnificent music career as some of your, you know, a most special concert?
Oh, these are huge, to be honest. And they come with their own, you know, tradition and a lot of honour, if I'm being honest, if you're asked to do these things. So we've been fortunate enough in our career. We've done one grand final before in Melbourne in 2013. And then we also did the Anzac Day match at the G in 2015, I think. And that is just as big, if not bigger, attendance-wise. So, yeah, we've done it before. But, like, honestly, like, these are such – the scope on these shows – are so big. You just got to go in there and do your thing. And, you know, we're all well prepared and whatnot. And I'm finding as our career goes on with these things, you try not to think about it too much, because honestly, the performance comes and goes in the flash. Yeah. Like, so you just got to go up there and enjoy every second, you know.
And what does it mean performing in your home state? Because let's be honest, you are one of Western Australia's biggest bands and you've performed at the MCG, as you've said. But to do it at Optus Stadium, which is an amazing stadium in its own right, how special is that going to be?
I think that's what's making that will make this show, you know, special, especially for the fact that it's here in our hometown. But you know, we're from this state and we love football. And this is, you know, this is a first. This has never happened before, and it may not happen again. So look, it's amazing, to be honest. It's incredible.
We are chatting to Ian Kenny from the Birds of Tokyo. Tell me about the acoustics in these big stadiums, Ian, because we often see it. Some big acts, they can deal with the kind of acoustics and the thousands and thousands of people screaming from the stands, but there's other times that it's gone a little bit awry. I know you guys are on the good side of that, but is it tricky?
It can be tricky, girl. I thought you were about to say meatloaf then. I thought you were about to drop the meatloaf bomb. Look, they can be tricky. Thankfully, on stage, we've kind of got our things dialed these days, and whoever handles the actual sound at the venue and their in-house arena thing, it's not really our thing, but you know, we're prepared for this, and I'm fingers crossed there's no meatloaf moments. God, I feel bad for meatloaf every time it comes up.
It'll be brilliant.
Well, my mate Oysters is a part of that team that puts the sound together, so I'm sure he'll do a great job. He's been busting for a gig for about 18 months, so he'll be right to go. But you've got the West Australian Symphony Orchestra with you. I'm guessing not the whole orchestra, because how do you get all of that off and on in at half time? But we saw you play with them for the Homefront series last year. What will you be doing with the orchestra?
So we're hoping to get as many of the players as we can. Like, you're right, it's a logistical nightmare to try and get a band on stage in the minutes they have to set it up, let alone adding an orchestra. So we're hoping to use as much of them as we can. We've basically got our set together, and we're using like a full weight through our set of the orchestra. And we've already sort of had like preview rehearsals. It's sounding incredible. So, yeah, we're super excited.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. Now, you're invited, of course, by West Coast to rework their theme song. Ian, are you a West Coast fan? Are you going to be able to watch the game in the second half? What do you like watching the footy? How are you going to be able to watch any of it at all?
Yeah, definitely a West Coast fan, absolutely. I think how these things go, the first half we'll be sort of getting prepped. It's just the nature of the call. We're going to have to get ready and get set up, and we'll have one eye on a screen somewhere, I'm sure. But basically, once we have the halftime show done, then it's on for young and old.
Justin?
Absolutely.
Who's your pick?
Oh, sorry, who's the pick? D's, I reckon. You know, I think everyone's got a soft spot for the Dogs. They're one of those teams, but the D's haven't had a premiership in a long time. They've been playing really, really well this season. They kind of deserve it. So, I mean, either way, honestly, but if the D's didn't win it, I think I'd feel the pinch a bit.
Yeah. We're all the same.
Yeah. Well, grand final pre-match entertainment includes so many WA musicians, John Butler, Eskimo Joe, Abby May, Colin Hay, Baker Boy, Mike Brady, and then halftime with Birds of Tokyo. Ian Kenny, we appreciate your time this morning. Have a good one and enjoy the day.
My pleasure. You too. All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Ian.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job, because helping business is their trade.
Joey, Jay and Emma are back tomorrow from 9 with more of Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition.
You have a great day.